I'm glad to be before you today to hopefully bring a lesson to you from the precious Word of God. I say precious because the Word of God encourages us. And that is why I asked Pam to put beside my name today, exhortation. Because I am here to encourage you. I am here to encourage you to continue in the faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is, by far, the most emotional lesson I have ever given in my life. So please, bear with me. February 19th, 2014. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I felt like a ton of bricks fell on me. My heart sank. The pit of my stomach ached. I lost my mother due to complications of type 2 diabetes. After that, I remembered two things that I'd been thinking about. One is a song called Cleanse Me. We find it in the Blue Book. The words that had captivated me after my mom's death was, O Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee. Send a revival. Start the work in me. My buffer of death was gone. I was now the next generation in my family to die. That's the way I looked at it. I have no more parents buffering me from that thought. I am next. I realized that I needed a revival. I realized that I needed to change my ways. I realized that I was only a Christian on Sunday and Sunday night. I needed to be a Christian throughout the week. I wanted to gain that heavenly home. I wanted one of those mansions that were prepared for me. The second thing that came to mind was the name of a chapter I read in a book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. The chapter's name is Sharpen the Saw. I decided that my saw was dull. And if you've ever used a dull saw, it takes a lot of effort to cut what you are trying to cut. It doesn't really cut. It rips and it tears. It was time for me to sharpen my saw. I was ripping and tearing and trying to find my way through life, doing it by my will and not by my Father's will. It was time to allow God in my life. It was time to sharpen my saw. This journey from the time of my mother's death to now has been life-changing. It has taken me places I thought I would never be. It has taught me lessons I never knew were there to learn. One of the things I did to sharpen my saw is I realized that I needed to take care of my body, because my body is the temple of God. God dwells within my body. God dwells within all men's bodies who have been saved. So I needed to eat more healthy. I needed to exercise. And one of the things I did to sharpen my saw is I started to run. But first I had to set a goal. My goal was to run a 5K by April 12th. The 5K is in Pleasant Hill, and it is called the Pleasant Hill Springtime Hill Climb. They call it a fun run. I have learned that it's only a fun run when the run is over. I was nervous to run. Up until this point, I was running on a treadmill. There was no wind, there were no hills. But I was nervous because it was kind of windy, and I knew the course was very hilly. Right out of the gate, I could see that I was going to be running uphill. My previous experience with hills is that going uphill is harder than going down. But I had to forget what my previous experiences were with running. I had to forget my previous experiences of hills. And I had to move forward. And during that race, I learned several things. And I think as time goes on and I think about that race, I think more lessons will be open to me that I will be able to see. But today I want to share with you one of those lessons. As I started running, I was doing pretty good. I wasn't feeling all that terrible after the first half mile. I got to the first mile and I wasn't feeling really all that bad. But by a mile and a half, I started to feel a little bit tired. By the second mile, I was even more tired. By the 2.5 mile mark, I was winded. I was having a hard time. I had doubts. I can't do this. How am I going to persevere? I'm running out of air. I started to panic. And probably the last 3/10 of a mile, there were ropes. And there were people standing behind the ropes who didn't even know me. But they knew the race that I was in. And they were cheering me on. They wanted to see me succeed. They wanted to see me continue to run. They did not want to see me stop. They wanted to see me reach the finish line. They didn't know who I was. What an encouragement that is. To be cheered on by people you don't even know. And I started to believe that I can do it. I can run this race. I can finish. After this race, I was very excited. And I called my brother. And my brother pointed to me 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. And I feel it is a great analogy. Paul writes, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Just like going from the couch to a 5K, it takes work to gain a crown that will last forever. When I first started, I couldn't run 0.2 mile. I was gasping, and it appeared to me that the people at the campus were running to go get the defibrillator to make sure that I wasn't going to die in their building. But that growth took incremental steps. I couldn't go out and run a 5K. I had to train my body. I had to push my body beyond what I thought its limits were to gain muscle in my legs so that I could go further. It took incremental growth to learn how to run this race. Just like a Christian, it takes incremental growth. We grow by little pieces as Christians. As a new Christian, and somebody comes to you and tells you to renounce Jesus or go to jail, you're still a young bud. You're probably going to not. You're probably going to go with what they said to do. But it takes time to get to that maturity level to where you can be like Joseph, who was thrown into jail for something he didn't do. It takes incremental growth to be thrown into jail and to be like Paul and Silas and to find the peace that passes all understanding, and to not grumble or complain, but to sing God's praises in jail. We can't do it when we're immature Christians. It takes God's discipline and incremental growth to get to that point. This is all very easy to say, but very hard to do. Because along the way, we think, I can't do this. We think, look at all that I'm doing and I'm not getting anywhere. I'm just spinning my wheels. And we become frustrated. But we remember Philippians 4:6. Be not anxious about anything. Don't get frustrated, but go to God with all prayer and supplication. Make your requests known to God. God knew that running this race was going to be tough. God knew firsthand that running this race was going to be tough, and that's why He gave us the word of encouragement. All of His word is God-breathed for helping us, for encouraging and instructing and teaching. 2 Corinthians says, "The God of this age," who is the God of this age? It is Satan, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." God knew that Satan was going to blind us. And I find this passage very interesting. Because another name for Satan is Lucifer, the bearer of light. A lot of times we find ourselves following the wrong light. It's not as bright as the light of God. It's not as wholesome or as righteous as the light of God. But he has lied to us and tricked us into thinking that his light is the true light. Have you ever wondered why the foolish man built his house on the sand? Is it because Satan convinced him that the sand is just a bunch of rocks? It'll work just fine. Proverbs 3 and 5. Lean not on your own understanding, but lean on the law of the Lord, and He will make your paths straight. Running this race is tough, but we need to train our bodies and commit ourselves to Him and get rid of the fog that is always surrounding us and slowing us down. We all know fog. We all know fog. We've driven in fog. And when we drive in fog, what do? We slow down. We become nervous. Sometimes we panic. But fog definitely is a weight that slows us down. Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us to purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. We are to get rid of those things that contaminate our body out of reverence for God. There are a lot of examples of fog in our life. Satan blinds all of us and tricks us into thinking that his light is the light that we're supposed to be following. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death." We need to examine ourselves and the things that we do and see if we are following the correct light. Some of you heard my story about the ham. I think it's appropriate. A married couple, newly married, always have ham for Sunday dinner. The husband notice his wife before she puts the ham into the oven, cutting off the end of the ham. And eventually he says, "Honey, why do you cut off the end of the ham and then put it in the pan and throw it in the oven?" "Well, I don't know. My mom always did it." "Well, hey, could you ask your mom and find out?" She asked her mom, "Why do you chop off the end of the ham before you put it in the pan and put it in the oven?" "Well, I don't know. I always saw Grandma do it." "Maybe we should ask Grandma." "Grandma, why is it when you made ham for Sunday lunch, you always cut off the end of the ham, put it in the pan, and stuck it in the oven?" "Oh, well, honey, that's easy. The ham was always too big for my pan." We do things because our parents did them, and we don't know why. That is why we need to seek out our own salvation. That is why we need to study, to ensure that we know that we're following the correct light. But there is lots of fog in our life, blinding us, telling us lies. Some of them are that it's okay to worry. Some of them say we're not successful unless we're working on our retirement. Some say that it is money that we should trust. It is money that fixes our problems. Some people say that politics are important. Some people say pain is bad, persecution is bad, affliction is bad. Some people tell us that an eye for an eye is good. It's okay to complain. It's okay to be a victim. It's okay to follow your heart. It will never let you down. Getting drunk is fun. Marijuana is safe and non-addicting. Premarital sex is okay if you love that person. Foul language is funny. Parents are stupid. Men are pigs. And the list goes on. It's been said that it's easier to believe a lie you've heard 1,000 times than to believe the truth you heard just once. We hear these lies all the time. The world tells us these lies all the time. Our body will tell us these lies all the time. And it's easy to believe them. But we know where the truth is found. I have found that the more time you spend meditating on God's law, the more the lies are exposed, the less fog you see. Our communication can be one of the biggest fogs. Isaiah 6:5 said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity has been taken away, and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go before us? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." Before the coal was touched to his lips were unclean, creating a fog. But as God purified him, his lips became encouraging. This is what Tom Rohde wrote to me. "Lord, please burn out the corruption from my words and make my communication helpful to my family, brethren, and all men." Our words are very important. They can either be a fog or they can be an encourager. I would like to take a little time and read Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We all know what pleases God. It is obedience, it is patience, it is mercy, it is love, it is sacrifice, it is not worrying, it is trust, it is focus, it is watchfulness. Our bodies do not want to do this by nature. It is up to us to train our bodies like we are running a race, that there is only one prize to win. We do not naturally want to have patience with one another. We do not naturally want to have mercy. We don't naturally want to sacrifice. But we must do these things and beat our brains and body into submission so that we can achieve that home of eternity that we want to go to. It is important to remember what drives away the fog. What drives away the fog? The sun. What drives away our fog of this earth? The sun. Beyond the fog lies clarity. When the fog of this world is past, we will have clarity of eternity. Which eternity will we have clarity of? It is the fog that slows us down. It is the fog that distorts the Scriptures. It takes time to grow to the point that we need to be mature for our Lord. It takes a lifetime. We never really achieve it. But we always try our best to practice and to gain that goal, and to remember what the goal is. In closing, I want to tell you a story about a remarkable woman. Her name is Florence Chadwick. Florence Chadwick was born in San Diego on November 8, 1918. Chadwick had her first swimming competition win at age 10. At the age 11, competed in her first challenging competition, a rough water swim. She placed fourth in the event. Chadwick's biggest contribution to swimming history occurred on August 8, 1950, when she crossed the English Channel in 13 hours and 20 minutes, breaking the then current world record held by American swimmer Gertrude Erdl. 1 year later, Chadwick crossed the English Channel yet again, from England to France, this time in 16 hours and 22 minutes, thus making her the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions and setting a record for the England-France journey. In 1952, Florence Chadwick stepped into the waters of the Pacific Ocean off Catalina Island and was determined to swim to shore of the mainland, to mainland California. She had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. But the weather was foggy and chilly. She could hardly see the boats accompanying her. Still, she swam 15 hours. When she begged to be taken out of the water, along the way, her mother in the boat alongside told her she was close. She could make it. Finally, physically and emotionally exhausted, she stopped swimming and was pulled out. It wasn't until she was on the boat that she had discovered the shore was less than a half a mile away. At the news conference the next day, she said, "All I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." We live our lives in a fog of trouble, worry, doubt, depression, health problems, unemployment, financial uncertainty, strained relationships, and loss of loved ones. All these things create fog. It's difficult to see in front of us. We end up focusing on the fog because we can't see the shore. Sometimes we feel like giving up because we don't have the strength to stay afloat any longer. We're all swimming in the fog. We're all tired and exhausted. But we have one in the boat, begging and pleading for us to keep swimming. Don't stop swimming. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. Keep swimming. We have one that is on the other side of the ropes, and we're running up a hill. Our breathing is labored. Our legs are about to give out. And He's cheering us on because He's been here. He knows the race that we're in. He will help us. There is only one way to have that person encourage us, and that is to be a part of His body. And we're going to offer a gospel invitation for anyone who would like to have that encouragement through this tough, rotten, horrible life of pain. And if you want that encouragement, and if you want that help, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.